of God with him to be. It was a day when Kathy and I had much other things on our minds than coming to a building in the hills or anywhere else for that matter and worship the true and living God. What a joyous day that was when our Lord called my wife out of darkness. The Lord called me about 5 years before her, so it was kind of a time of separation for us. I had to hear more about my Lord and Savior, and she had to go about doing what we always did before. Amazingly, though, the Lord laid it upon her heart one day to be a little on the lonely side, and she just got tired of being at home by herself on Sunday, so she came to church with me. And from that day on, we've been singing the same song, the wondrous story of our Savior. I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of John, if you would, please. John chapter 6. I can't express in words the honor that it is for us to host this Sovereign Grace Conference. We had one in January. I'm so thankful that the Lord has been able to bring you here for the summer one. We missed you dearly, but the Lord provided in great ways. Brother Rick Warda stepped up and preached three messages. Pastor Gene preached three messages. I was able to come together with another message, and we filled in. It's some big shoes that we had to fill in, but God provides in big ways, doesn't he? Great ways. And what an honor it is to be a host of these special meetings. Coming together for the one purpose, to raise up our Lord and Savior as Moses lifted up the brass serpent. It's exactly what we're doing today. We're raising up our Lord Jesus Christ above everything else. God Almighty in the flesh. Ruler of all things. Everything. Sovereign ruler of everything. Not just ruler of this and ruler of that, ruler of this, but ruler of everything. Including the will of men and women. As Moses lifted up the brass serpent, presenting, we raise our Lord Jesus up, presenting his gospel of sovereign grace before those that he, that our Savior, has seen fit to draw to this very little place right here in the hills. I am so very thankful for these men who have come such long ways to preach that gospel. But these men are just like everybody else. There's no difference. They may have a different gift that God has given them, but they're same as everyone else. They are chosen sinners, chosen by God and saved by his grace.
Amen.
They have been given the desire to come and preach, thus saith the Lord to us. Not, well, this is what I think, or this is possible, but thus saith the Lord. There's only one truth in this world that we walk in, and that's the Word of God right here. Everything else has been manipulated by men to mean this, mean that, or mean whatever. Just look at the laws that we have in this very country that God has blessed us with. We don't even know what people are anymore. Whether they be men or women or whatever they want to be. I know Scripture says they're men and women. But men and women want to think they're something else, I guess. These men have come to speak to us, thus saith the Lord. And I tell you this, there was a day in these men's very lives, as there was in ours, where they too, as we, had other things that ruled their lives. A time when they too lived by their natural will. But in the day of our Creator's power, as we read in that article, these men were called from the darkness that they walked in, a darkness that we are all born into, dead in trespasses and sin. And when God's time was, He called them to be preachers. And I am so thankful for that. Preachers of the gospel. Preachers of Christ and Him crucified. This is the message that all of God's preachers preach. There's nothing new. I got nothing new for anybody. If I ever start talking about something new, you need to chase me off. Send me away. The message I have for you tonight is the same message that God's preachers have been speaking about since the beginning. I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. Not about the good things a church might do or the things that you might have to do. I want to talk to you about what He did and who He is and what He's doing right now. This is the message that all God's preachers preach. There is no other message with a sure hope. In Acts 16:31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But we must believe in spirit and in truth. According to God's Word. According to the Scriptures. And our Lord is truth, and He does not save through lies. In Galatians 1:6, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." That may be hard for some to hear, but there are other gospels in the world around us. They want to talk about other things. I've shared with you many times about the church that they spent the entire hour speaking about the good things that their church had done and raising money for their children to go down to Mexico and purchase an ambulance for the people down there. That's a good thing. I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Period. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. Again, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." Even a child can understand we are saved by Christ and Christ alone. Everything outside of that starts making it complicated, which is what men like to do. Paul goes on to say, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." There was another Jesus even in the time of Paul, wasn't there? He just now says that. "If another comes and preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Folks, there is another gospel being preached in the world, another Jesus. There's a Jesus whose grace is not sufficient. No, it requires you to get in a baptismal, or maybe it requires you to worship on Saturdays, or maybe the Jesus that you're hearing about requires you to come forward and pray a little prayer at the front with some man, or make a decision, or whatever. There's all kinds of Jesuses out there. And many say they come in the name of Jesus. We do this. They said that at that church. We do this great thing for these people, these poor people in Mexico, in the name of Jesus. But yet then they turned right around and they said, "You need to come down here and accept that Jesus. Because He's waiting for you. And He can't do anything without you." What kind of a God can't do anything without us? A pretty weak God. That's not the God of Scripture.
No.
The God of Scripture has all power. And in the day of His power, He calls His people unto Himself. That Jesus in the world, one whose mercy is not enough, one whose blood is not enough, one whose love can be turned, it can be thwarted. The Lord Jesus says that He has loved us from before the world was. Well, if He's got all power, can anything take us from that love? There will be no empty seats in heaven, folks. Everything our Lord desires shall be fulfilled. You may say, John, that's some pretty harsh stuff to say about the world's Jesus. You may say that that's hard to hear. The world loves a Jesus that sounds good to its ears. A Jesus that conforms to whatever idea their desire is. A Jesus that's waiting for them to do something. But the Lord of glory, the Son of the true and living God, the ruler of all things in heaven and earth and under the earth, that's a different story. We don't like a God who rules over our so-called free will, do we? That's the God, that sovereign God that John's talking about, that Jesus Christ, the King of glory, that's the God men say, I will not have that man rule over me. That's the God, when He declared Himself to be who He was, the religious people killed Him, hung Him on a cross, beat Him, scourged Him. Because He claimed to who He was. That's the man the world says, I shall not have that man rule over me. Are you with me in the book of John chapter 7? Chapter 6? Look at verse 47 if you would. Read along with me. Our Lord and Savior says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now catch what the religious people said after that. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? I had a message that I was going to bring based kind of what on that article was about. But I heard something the other morning that caught my attention. And I had to put what the Lord had laid on my heart on the other. He just pressed this on me too much. The other one was, I couldn't do it. I was listening to a man by the name of R.C. Sproul. Now, I'm not going to argue. I don't want to talk about whether he's a saved man or not. Maybe he is. I don't judge. I can't look on the hearts of anyone. But he speaks on the radio to millions of people. And he's doing a series what's called Hard Sayings. And he wants to talk to you about hard sayings, and he went about in this first sequel talking about what's a hard saying between men. He wants to address the argument about how much time passed by between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And this scripture just jumped right out at me. Many, therefore, of his disciples, those who were being taught of Christ himself, many of them heard this, and they said, this is a hard saying. And then R.C. starts going off about this time between 1 and 2. I don't really care, to be honest with you. It doesn't make any difference to me. To me, that's not the gospel. So as I began to look at this very verse, I said, this is what I have to preach tonight. Hard sayings. In these verses that we just read, the God-man, he declares that he is the bread of life. But first he said this. He said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. If you have been given the gift of faith, you will believe. Yes. Our Lord doesn't do anything halfway. He doesn't do anything partly. And he doesn't do anything that can be thwarted, or he would not be called Lord. One of the most important things that was impressed on me when I heard the gospel preached, it was about a God that could be called God, who deserved that very title. One who couldn't be moved by anything, especially moved by me and what I could do. Because I'm real good at doing things that aren't right. I'm real good at stumbling down a pathway somewhere and going the wrong path. You can ask my mom, not right now, but later. She sits in the back right now. I know how to mess things up. And for the first time, I heard about a true God. Now, it's possible that I'd heard about this true God before, but I didn't have ears to hear. The Lord gave me the gift of faith. In Ephesians, we read, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Amen. That's what it says, right? Yeah. Well, that means that if I was to believe on him and have everlasting life, it's because he gave me faith. That's exactly what that means, right? That's just as simple as it can be. If Christ has revealed himself to you, then he has made himself everything to you. He has made himself Lord to you. Everything about you is sustained in him. And he will be your all in all. His flesh, the very flesh that was so cruelly beaten and scourged and spit and then nailed to the cross where he hung till he gave up the ghost. And that's right. Because he's God, he gave up that ghost. Nobody took it from him. He says, I lay down my life, I will raise it up again. His death put away my sin. Not just one little spot here or one little spot there, but he put away all my sin. All the sin that I have committed, all the sin that I've committed this very day. And here's a dreadful thing, all the sin that I'm going to commit between now and the time he takes me home to glory. It's dreadful because I know I have to go through it. I know that's the flesh that I walk in. But I know that my Lord and Savior has paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he makes it white as snow. For he hath made him, for he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, God the Son, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, who was perfect in everything that he did, the only one to ever walk this earth and please the Father completely and satisfy everything the Father needed of him. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we, those that he has loved from before the foundation of the world, those who were predestinated to be conformed to him, that they might be made the righteous of God in him, our Savior. The very blood that was shed is the blood of God, and there is power in that blood. It is drink indeed, for by the shedding of his blood I have been washed white as snow. My Father, which art in heaven, sees my sins no more. They're washed away in the blood of my Savior. My Father, or as the God-man in human flesh, death could not hold him. He said, I lay down my life, I take it up again. And his place is on the throne of all glory, interceding for all of his sheep. And he shall lose none. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I shall nowise cast out. You see, this goes against the very nature of men to be ruled over. You think Israel liked being slaves to Egypt? You think if they would have known that they were going to be made to be stomped under by the Egyptians, that they would have gone down there? Men don't like to be ruled over. We want to be our own boss. We got to have something to do. What must we do to be saved was their call. Folks, I tell you plain that salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. He raises the dead. He gives deaf ear, he gives ears to the deaf. He makes the lame to walk. It is all of him or there is no salvation. Look at verse 60 again. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Many turn from the true and living God, and they walk with one of their own imagination. In 1 Corinthians 1:23 it says, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. How can that be? Why would it be? Because they need something to do. What must we do to be saved, is what they said. Well, they're saying the same thing today. What must I do to be saved? Come down to the front and say a little prayer. Show up on Saturdays, because that's the day of Sabbath. Get in the waters of baptism. What must we do? They must have something to do. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. What do you mean this man can save me? He's just a man. No, he's much more than a man, isn't he? When the Lord reveals himself to your heart, oh, you see him as Lord. Truly Lord, Son of the living God. When he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? What did Peter say? He said, well, I'm the Son of the living God. What did he say after that? Well, blessed are you, Simon. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood. Gene Harmon didn't really reveal that to my heart. Flesh and blood can't reveal nothing to the hearts of men. We preach Christ and him crucified, but God must preach that to the heart. He must apply it to the hearts of men and women. I don't ask anybody to come down to the front of the church. You know why? Because Christ is the altar. Come to Christ. Come to him and come to him alone. Right where you sit tonight. You see, It's not a question of what's going on between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis and how much time that took. You might want to talk about that. That's okay. I don't care if you want to talk about that. But if you're on the radio to talk to millions of people about who the Savior is, you need to talk about who the Savior is. And the question is, what think ye of Christ? Is he just a man to you? Is it foolishness to you that a man could save you? Or is he outside of your rituals? Is he the Lord? Or is he a Lord? What think ye of Christ? Look at verse 67, if you would. I'm sorry, 61. When Jesus knew of himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Does it offend you that Christ declares himself to be the bread of life? Does it offend you that our Lord Savior said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's the Lord's word, folks. That's not my interpretation of Scripture. That's not John standing up here saying, well, I think this means this. This is our Lord and Savior saying, I said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. These are hard words. These are hard things to accept. You see, the hard thing to hear is about the true and living God. It offends men. What do you mean taking my free will away from me? This is my will. I make a decision of where I go in life. How dare you tell me I can't do this and do that? Whether you believe it or not, he's Lord of all. And he rules over all. And he's King of all. And he's going to do all he wants to do. And in the day of his power, he will make each and every one of his loved people willing to come to him. Now look at verse 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In Matthew 16:13, we read, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not the rock of Peter. Peter's not a rock. Peter's a man. He's just like these preachers. Saved by grace. A sinner. He's not a rock. The Son of the living God is our rock. If you have anything that you're putting your trust in other than that rock, you're doomed. There's only two places to go when we die, folks. Heaven and hell. Those who have been given the gift of faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, shall stand in the presence of the Lord. I will build upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The very fact that Jesus is King of all, that he is what he is a hard saying to the natural man. Only God can reveal the truths that are laid out in this book. People want to believe that God loves all of mankind. They say, how could the Creator make something that he did not love? Have you heard the story of the potter? Have you heard how the Lord raised up Pharaoh and then destroyed him that the power of the Lord would be made known throughout the world? Look at verses 70, 71, and verse 1 of chapter 7. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? You talk about a hard saying. Our imagination can fill anything we want on those verses between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But here's the truth. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jerry, which is Judea. Because the Jews sought to kill him. That must have been a pretty hard thing for them to take, to want to kill him, wouldn't you say? That must have been a pretty hard thing for them to hear of the Lord and Savior of all his people, sovereign ruler of all it is, sitting on his throne right now, calling his people unto himself. Christ Jesus is Lord of all. And that's a very hard saying for mankind to accept. I ask you, what think ye of Jesus? Is he just somebody who might save you? Is he just somebody who's trying to save you? Or is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? If not, will you also go away? Think about that. Hard sayings. Stand with me if you would, please.